We are going to be doing a three-week series called Encounter, and it'll be a fourth one, obviously. And what we're going to be looking at is we want to talk about sort of discovering the person of the Holy Spirit and his work among us. Listen to what Rob Reamer said in his book, River Dwellers. He said, when we live during unrevived times, we develop theologies which fit our lack of experience, and we call it normal. That is an incredibly powerful statement. When I read that in that book, I highlighted it, I starred it, I underlined it, because it's very true. When it seems that God's activity is minimal or unseen, where there seems to be a lack of life change in our own lives, where there's a lack of deliverance from demonic oppression, where there's a lack of healing, where there's a lack of people coming to Christ, where the ministry of the Holy Spirit seems absent, where the gifts are not functioning, where the worship does not seem vital, where prayer does not thrive, where the church is more like a social club and is dead than what we read in the scripture, where we have a form of godliness, but there is no power of God there. That is an unrevived time. And the problem is this: we can get so used to that, and then we then fit our theology and try to pick and choose verses of scripture that support the state we're in and say, this is the way it should be. And friends, I want to say that that is not what God planned for his church. It is not what he planned for you. In every revived time since Jesus walked this earth, the agency and the operation of the Holy Spirit was undeniable and was unashamedly entered into by both young people and older people, by rich people and poor people, by women and by men, and by every ethnic group that was within earshot or experience. There was no partiality. Since 2012, I've been on sort of a journey personally. I've grown up in a denomination in a church that taught about the Holy Spirit. My parents taught me. I've seen them in his transforming work. I've seen the Holy Spirit work through them. I've been in environments where I've seen the Holy Spirit at work, where the risen life and power of Jesus Christ has actually done some wonderful things. But I have been on a bit of a journey that's been deliberate in renewal and in pursuit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And while I'm not there yet, obviously, and you know me, I can say this, that God is not only changing me, but he is working in and through me with greater degree. I've experienced his presence. His worship is more sweet. And you know what happened? Some of the theological fears and reservations I had going in simply have not occurred. Let me share some of those with you. I felt like as I pursued the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that it would actually dishonor Jesus and relegate Jesus to a place of forgottenness almost. But I can tell you that Jesus is more prominent, more loved, more worshiped, more served. He is more pursued by me since I've gone on this journey. And I've discovered that while immature people or wrong teaching can elevate the Holy Spirit to such a degree at the neglect of the other persons of the Godhead, I found that in honest, biblical, and true pursuit of the fullness of the Spirit, that Jesus becomes more and more real. The second thing I feared was that actually the Scripture or the Bible would get discarded. And I had a physical illustration of that to back this fear. Years ago, when I was a pastor in Ottawa, a youth pastor, assistant pastor there, I took my father at the height of the airport revivals going on. And the worship time was great. It was about 45 minutes to an hour, something like that. And they had a guest preacher come. And he was from the States. Now, I would not want to say that this is indicative of this church that I was at. Please understand. I just want to set a scene. I have a physical scene in my mind that illustrates a fear that I thought would take place. Are you okay with that? So what happened was, the guest speaker comes out, and he takes his Bible, and he starts reading a few verses after worship time. I'm sitting there. I got my Bible in my lap, and I'm like, and I have my dad beside me. I brought dad, and I was thinking like, oh, this is going to preach. And he just kind of reads the verse and makes a comment or so, then goes to another one, opens it up, and I go, oh, this is great. I can't wait for him to preach this. And he says something, goes to another. After about five of these, I'm not kidding you, he took his Bible, and I'm not going to do this, but he threw it across the platform. It was spinning and landed and skidded along. And then he said, don't mean to be disrespectful, but the living word is here. So I have this scene in my back, in my mind, where I thought, if we talk about renewal, and if we think about all of the stuff of the Holy Spirit, is the Scripture going to get so discarded and dishonored? Are we never going to read it and just go for some sort of experience? See, that was in the back of my mind. Now, it could be that that was only my fear or my reservation. But if that resonates with any one of you in the room today, I want to say this, that once again, I suppose that could happen where there's immature leadership and, just if it's conducted in an unbiblical way. But where there's a plurality of godly leaders and the Scriptures, I'll tell you what's just happened to me. There is an essential longing for the Word of God in my heart and my mind since I've been pursuing the fullness of the Holy Spirit that's almost insatiable. That's just patently not been a fear that's resurrected. It has been real. I get up more consistently and I long to spend time in the Word of God. I read it. I study it. Under the Spirit's power, I try to apply it more than ever. And I think some of you in the room might attest to the fact that in the last 8 years, there's been some sort of untangible, qualitative something, anointing on the teaching of the Word. Something's been happening. I'll tell you, I haven't got smarter. The one who wrote this book, the Holy Spirit, as I've walked in renewal of Him, do you think the one who authored this, who fills me, is going to take this and diss it? No. That was one of the fears about, leaning into the hearing God thing, was that, oh, we're going to just listen to God, we're going to discard this. And I've just found it was actually the absolute opposite. In fact, if you are not engaged deeply in study and reading and listening to the Word of God this way, you are dangerous when you say, God told me. And here's the last thing, and I'm going to hit this near the end of the service. I thought I was going to become weird. Now, some of you said, you are weird. Okay. Let me say weirder. Seriously, Is that a fear or reservation you have? Because I don't know about you, but I know some people in my history. I know some people around us today. When all this talk about the Holy Spirit, and they're all like, all of, you know, sort of frothed up about the Holy Spirit, they're weird. They act strange, obnoxious. And I, unless I'm completely self-unaware, I don't think I've become weirder. So I would just say that this has been my journey. And as long as the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus and God the Father and the elders of this church believe that I should still be serving as your pastor here, I'm just going to say, so long as I'm around here, I am going to lean further and more deeply into the fullness of the Holy Spirit because of what I've seen transpire in my life. Jesus is more real. He is more glorified. He is absolutely more worshipped. It is so much about Him and the Father and the Spirit, the Trinitarian. The Word of God is more rich and honored. And I hear God, but never at the dispense of His Word. And I don't think we're going to turn into a bunch of lunatics. So I would say to you, you know, I encourage you to lean in, walk with us here. And I believe that God began to do something when He gave a prophetic word to this church through our president at the 15th anniversary of this church. And we have watched the Holy Spirit actually fulfill this, in it's just growing and growing and growing in the fulfillment. And it's resulting in the transformation of the nations. It's never about us for some kind of ethereal experience just for us. It's all about the movement of the kingdom of God. So, with all of that as intro, what are we talking about today? And very quickly, because very quickly, who's the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? So I'm just going to dive right in. You ready? I've been praying that the Spirit of God, first of all, would eliminate some of your natural resistance because of history, some of your natural resistance from wrong teaching, and that He would open our understandings and teach us truth, and then not just teach it to us, lead us into all truth. Who's the Holy Spirit? First, He's God. Now, if I were to say to you this statement, the Father is my God, do you agree with that? Yeah. If I were to say this, God the Son, Jesus is my God. You okay with that? But when I say this, the Holy Spirit, He's my God. Is there any hesitation in your spirit right there? Be honest with yourself. Is there? That's a result of improper biblical teaching or fear of experience from experience. The Holy Spirit is God. He is just as fully God as the Father. He is just as fully God as the Son, Jesus. I just want that to settle in. This is not, I went to a preaching seminar one time and Stuart Briscoe was preaching. He used to be at Milwaukee. He was a British preacher, phenomenal. But he said, I don't remember anything else he said, but I remember this. I was sitting there as a, you know, just a snotty-nosed little youth pastor for second year in the ministry, and I'm like, wow. And he goes, the essence of profundity is simplicity. So, He's God. Not very profound. It's simple, but it's profound. It's simple, but it's not simplistic. Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, is God. Listen to this. Matthew 28, verse 19. When Jesus stood before His disciples and He gave the Great Commission, He said this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name. If you have a Bible, circle that name. And here's why I want you to do that. It's not names. Not in the names of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in that moment, was equating all members of the Godhead in complete and total unity and equality. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and what happened was people were giving because of the great need in the early church, and so what they did is they took a piece of property and they sold it and they gave some of the money to the church. Now, here, listen to me. The sin was not that they didn't give it all. They sold some of it, or they sold the property, took all the money, gave some of it. Here's the problem. They said they gave it all, and they didn't. So here's where we pick it up. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? You have not lied to man, you've lied to God." A direct connection that the Spirit is God. If you're going to have, if you're going to enter into or experience all that God has predestined, I'm going to say predestined for you to experience and live in, and all that Christ has provided for you in his death and life and resurrection, you must come to the place of honoring the Holy Spirit as God. You must get over your fear of him and begin pursuing his fullness. He is God. Can you say that? Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, the Holy Spirit is God. Tell him. He is. The Holy Spirit is God. Here's the second thing. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit's a person. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not an operational law of the universe. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not like gravity or electricity. The Holy Spirit is God, and as such, the Holy Spirit is a person. Listen to how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read quickly. John 14, 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another helper who will be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he will dwell with you and be in you." Chapter 15. "But when the helper comes, whom I have sent you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." John 16, 7 and 8. "I tell you the truth, it's your advantage I go away. If I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." Verse 12 and 13. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Jesus said, he, him, who, whom. Listen, the Bible never speaks of the Holy Spirit as an it. It always speaks of the Holy Spirit as a person. He is God. A person has personality and a soul. He has all the attributes of personhood. So, for example, the soul is made up predominantly of three parts, I would argue. First one is the mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind. John said he will guide us into all truth. That is, he has knowledge. He's got a mind. And the Spirit helps us to know and to think what God thinks. He helps us to know God and the things of God and helps us to think like God. He has personality. He has a mind. He also has a will. Read this in Acts 16, where the Holy Spirit actually forbade, or was it says he forbid them to preach the gospel in Asia You see, to forbid is to exercise your will. The Spirit has a will. People want to know, what's God's will for me? Well, you can know it generally by His Word. You can know it specifically by the Spirit's voice, as the Spirit speaks. So there we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. For example, you want to know how to pray, you can read that in the Scripture. If you want to know what to pray for, then you need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit says, in our weakness, we do not know what we should pray for. So He helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit also has emotions. He's a person. He has emotions. In Galatians 5, we talk about He's got love and joy and peace. And in Ephesians 4, He says He grieves. He's got emotions. You see, if you do not see, why is this important? Here's why. Why am I belaboring this? Here's why. Because if you do not see the Holy Spirit as a person, you will never develop a personal relationship with Him. That was Robert Morris in his book, The God I Never Knew. It's a great book. If you do not see the Holy Spirit as a person, you will never develop a personal relationship with Him. And sometimes, even when some of you in this room hear me say that, you're uncomfortable, because we think this: we have a personal relationship only with the Father through Jesus Christ, as if we don't have a relationship with Jesus. He's person. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like we do with the Father and the Son. So He is God. He is a person. Here's the third thing. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's my friend. I have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And God has ordained you to do the same. He dwells in you. Here, just a quick snapshot of something. He's a person. He's my friend. He loves me. It's one of the evidences of His presence. Romans 5:2 said the love of God is poured out upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He loves me. He's with me. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to give you another helper. He'll be with you forever. He's with me. Friends hang out. He speaks to me. Friends converse. Do you like being around a person that just does all the talking? Isn't that irritating after a while? You just can't get a word in. All they do is talk. They never nonstop. Relationships, they converse. And that's what the Holy Spirit, He prays for me. Don't good friends pray for you? They do. Romans says He intercedes for us. He strengthens me. Scripture tells me in Ephesians that He strengthens me in the inner person by His Holy Spirit. And He's faithful. He's faithful to me. You see, the Holy Spirit is my friend, and He's not weird. I'm bringing that up again. This is so, it's so prevalent in the conservative evangelical church, and we're conservative in our theology, but with that, what we've done is certain things. We've squeezed out or ignored certain passages of Scripture. I heard a pastor recently who said when he went to Bible college and seminary, he was going to start to be his pastor. His older pastor said to them, now watch out for those people who talk about the Holy Spirit. It was like, that's the only thing he gave me. Didn't say study hard. Didn't say learn all he can. He said, watch out for those people who talk about the Holy Spirit. He's not weird. Listen. We've seen a lot of people talk a lot about the Holy Spirit who are weird. Let me tell you a secret. They would be weird without the Holy Spirit. They are. They're immature without the Holy Spirit. They're just immature. Or they're self-centered. Or they're just obnoxious. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. Without the Holy Spirit, they're like that. I want to say to this, listen, you can be a normal person and believe in and experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said it this way, Jesus was a perfect gentleman. And if you want to be like Jesus, don't worry. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman, just like Jesus. You don't have to be goofy or strange to have the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, who do you think twisted this whole perspective of the Holy Spirit? Did that come from Christ? Did it come from the Father? Did it come from the Bible? Who twisted all that? Satan did. The enemy did. And fearful, controlling people did. You know why? Because if the enemy can get Christians afraid of, to ignore and neglect the Holy Spirit, they're powerless. And that's what the enemy would absolutely love for every one of you in this room. To be walk in defeat, to walk not knowing and understanding the Bible, to not appropriate the fullness of all that Christ has for you, to not be gifted and walk and use your gifts in the Holy Spirit. I mean, on and on I could go. To not be revived, to not find victory. That, friends, does not come from Jesus, nor the Father, nor the Bible. He mucked it up. So the Holy Spirit is your friend, and he's not weird. You okay? Who is he? Let's say these together. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. He is a person, and he is my friend. He's my friend. 1 Corinthians 3:16 as we close. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? If you have trusted Christ, he has come to dwell within the inner recesses of your physical body, somewhere in the deepest recesses of your spirit and soul. He has taken up habitation within you. Some of you know this experience where you have people come to stay at your house. It could be someone who, you know, just was passing through. It could be a distant relative. Could be a mother-in-law. I mean, they're in your house. But you haven't received them well. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. But have you received him well? Or do you keep him at arm's length? Or do you do what I did and say, you know what? I'll go there, but you behave yourself, Holy Spirit. I want you to bow your head with me. As we prepare for communion, I want to start doing this more and more often, especially during this series. But I'd like you to bow your head and ask this question at the end of this service. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want you to listen, and when you get a thought or an impression, write it down. Or take note of it. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message this morning? I'm just going to give you a minute. Now, if there's been a truth for you to believe, I want you to pray and ask God to solidify that, to lean in. If he is pointed out something you need to ask him to forgive you for, I want you to do that right now. Just in your spirit, just confess that to him. Father, as I stand in front of this table, there's no dichotomy from what we've been talking about and this table. I would ask you, as I stand here representing this church, would you forgive us, Father, for our fears? Fears of becoming one of those people, one of those churches, and in doing so, missing out on your will for us. Forgive us for not trusting you, Holy Spirit. So I would ask right now, would you lead us as a church? We sang it this morning. You are welcome here. Not to trump any person of the Trinity, but to be a full member in our minds and in our practice. So I would ask now that you would apply to us, Holy Spirit, the work of Christ on the cross in forgiving our sin, cleansing us anew and afresh. Would you make Jesus real? Enable us to worship him. Sanctify us to become more like Christ. Make the love of the Father so real to us. So we are going to celebrate communion, and Holy Spirit, we know this isn't just some memorial that's devoid of your presence. So we invite you to come, and somehow in that mysterious way that you do, as we partake of these little pieces of bread and this little cup of the vine, we pray that you would feed our hungry souls and quench our spiritual thirst. Oh, come, Lord, and minister your grace to us. So we look forward to, and we do this by faith. In Jesus' name.